So we've talked a lot about training, we've talked a lot about finding a professional, creating plans, but let's talk about the emotions, whether it's for yourself or your client, that goes behind dealing with a reactive and aggressive dog.
Hello and welcome to the All Big Canines podcast, where we have big canine concepts for all dogs. My name is Tabitha Davies. I am a certified professional dog trainer and associate certified dog behavior consultant. I run the Coachella Valley Dog Club, and I am the co-owner of All Big Canines out here in the Palm Springs, California area.
I think one of the top three things that clients say to me when I am talking to them about their dog's history or I'm speaking to somebody for the first time is that they're not even necessarily afraid of their dog at that point or worried about their dog doing something at that point. They're very isolated. Their family members and their friends are telling them to put the dog down, to get rid of the dog, rehome the dog. They don't understand how you could live with a dog like that. And they look at the dog as a bad dog, which leaves the owners oftentimes feeling very defensive because, you know, when you live with that animal, you see all of the positive attributes from them. You see how loving they are, how engaged they are, how much fun they are to play with. They're your support system when you come home. There's just so many things that are wonderful about your dog. Otherwise, you wouldn't still be in a situation where you're dealing with your dog's behavior because you wouldn't have the dog. And the reality is that when people struggle with things like this, they're not in a situation where they just have the ability to tell somebody about it. They don't have somebody to vent to. They don't have someone to work with to address the issues that they're dealing with. And it's a very socially isolating situation to be in. The second thing that I deal with is people who have this immense level of guilt. And oftentimes this guilt comes from having hired someone that was not an appropriate fit for them, meaning, you know, the person used outdated methods or caused more problems, or, you know, even somebody who uses evidence-based methods but isn't well versed enough in behavior to be able to give them a good handle on things. And so they felt like they were, you know, constantly failing their dog. And the reality is, you know, oftentimes something is better than nothing. And in this industry, we as the professionals are the ones that are responsible for making the change so that clients don't have this level of guilt put on them because they hired somebody who decided to say, hey, look, I'm a professional trainer. They put on these amazing before and after videos, you know, great marketing, absolutely. And you have to be charismatic to be a salesman, and that's basically what they're doing. And so you have these clients that, you know, they see this stuff and they're like, oh, this is what I'm gonna get. And a lot of the times that I've had to deal with this with clients, they've been made to feel like they have failed the dog, like the results didn't happen, or they had, you know, the behavioral fallout show up and they were told that it was their fault. They didn't follow through with something, and therefore they're the problem, or the dog is the problem, and it's just kind of like the pass the buck moment. And it's really sad to do that to someone, to do that to anyone. And when you're dealing with it with people that are dealing with their dogs and they don't know where else to go or what else to do. And, you know, sometimes these are referrals from veterinarians, they're referrals from the dog park, from, you know, friends who've had their trainers. And so they can't necessarily go back to their friend and say like, hey, this didn't work out. Or they go to the vet and the vet has a great relationship with this person and they're like, hey, this is what happened. And the vet is like, excuse me, like they've been amazing with other clients. And then they feel like almost an unintentional form of gaslighting. And that can leave a person not wanting to try to find someone else or feeling so overwhelmed. You know, and we have to realize like society is very ableistic. So a lot of people are looking for trainers and going through this situation are neurotypical. You have to put this level of guilt and shame and stress on someone who's neurodivergent and you could shut them down. And that's not okay. So that level of guilt that I deal with you know, and I say I deal with because I have to help my clients realize that they don't have anything to feel guilty for, that they were doing the best thing that they could, you know, as a loving, compassionate, responsible dog parent. Because the reality is, if they weren't a loving, compassionate, responsible dog parent, they wouldn't have been looking for someone to help them in the first place. And I mean, not even thinking about looking, because I think that's another thing that needs to be taken into account. Okay, so this brings me to the third one. And this is the one that I think is the hardest. So we all, for the most part, most people understand social psychology and that fear of being judged, the fear of, you know, being ridiculed, of being put down, being socially isolated. This comes into play. So does the psychology of fear. So when we're dealing with people and their dogs, some people get so overwhelmed by what it is that they're looking for, that they don't know what to look for because there's so much misinformation and conflicting information, and people don't know how to weed that out unless you're in this industry. But it can make it extremely hard. And so people will sit there and be like, I don't know who I'm supposed to go to for help. I watched YouTube video A with this dog trainer saying one thing and YouTube video B with this dog trainer saying another thing. I want to do what's best by my dog. My vet's telling me a third thing. My friends are telling me a fourth thing. You know, my neighbor across the street is telling me a fifth thing. My dog's breeder or the shelter is telling me a sixth thing. Who are you supposed to believe? That in and of itself, that whole entire overwhelming process that people go through with their dogs is something that impedes them from finding a professional in the first place. And then that kind of circles back into number two. So while this level of overwhelm that occurs when you're dealing with any sort of behavior issue comes into play, especially if you've already had a trainer and it didn't work out, like it can feel almost insurmountable. And there's people that say, oh yeah, you know, just get over it and do it and start calling things and, you know, making a plan on, you know, asking questions and getting them answered. And the thing is, it can be mentally blocking. It can actually cause somebody so much stress that they spend their entire day worrying about making a 2-minute phone call. And when they make the 2-minute phone call, they get a voicemail. How overwhelming to spend 7 hours stressing out about trying to make a phone call to ask somebody questions and tell them about your dog, waiting for them to tell you how horrible you are and how you should have reached out sooner and blah, 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 blah. Because there are many people who do things like that. And many people who do things like that, that quite frankly, should not be allowed to work with people. And when you are dealing with a situation where somebody is that overwhelmed and they're struggling with their dog's behavior, first of all, we don't judge you. So there are some a-holes out there that do that, but a qualified professional is not going to judge you. We're going to listen to what you have to say. We're going to give you feedback and information on the situation, but we're not going to judge you. And the number one thing that I feel people think that they're going to get judged on is when they tell me their dog sleeps in the bed. My dogs sleep in my bed too. So they're also allowed on the couch. And it's something that people go, oh, wait, that's an allowed thing? Yes, it's absolutely allowed thing. There is no, you know, social hierarchy that involves your dog being on the bed and somehow thinking that they're going to stage a coup and take you out in your sleep. But being able to handle these situations and help owners who are really struggling, sometimes texting is, which is not as easily offered, but sometimes texting is a way less stressful way for people to communicate. I do feel that being able to have texting as an available option, as well as email and phone conversations, are huge. I have a very in-depth history form on my website in a couple places so that people can find it, people can fill it out, and I can give them feedback. But my biggest concern when it comes to that is so that people can actually take their time on their own without the pressure of me being involved in that process and really be honest and open. And I sell this over and over and over again, judgment-free zone. I don't care what training methods you've done. I don't care, you know, what mistakes you've made. I don't care what awful things you've done or have happened. I want to know about it because it's the only way that I can help you. And the fact that you're reaching out for help means that you are just trying to do your best. People tell me I've done everything I know how to do, and my favorite response to that is, that's right, you have done everything you know how to do. and I know so much, so let me give you all of my knowledge and my skills so that you have those skills and you have that knowledge in your essential toolbox of life with your dog. So it can be a lot. And, you know, if you're an owner sitting here listening to this right now, please know that you are among thousands upon thousands of dog parents, pig parents, horse parents, cow parents, chicken parents, cockatiel and parrot parents. People who have animals struggle with behaviors they don't understand, maladaptive behaviors. And sometimes it's because we need to make tweaks in the environment. I should throw cats in there too. But sometimes it's, you know, medical. Sometimes it's a lack of socialization. Sometimes it's trauma related. Sometimes it's genetics. So it's really one of those things where you're not alone. You're not alone in this. And when you find the right person, you know, it's not always like a, oh, you'll know thing. But there are, you know, informational points out there that make it more available. Our Facebook group, for one, is Reactive and Aggressive Dog Community Group. The whole goal is to provide guides so that people can learn body language, management strategies, how to advocate for their dog, basket muzzle selection and conditioning. You know, what the flow chart of like when we're ready to even put BE on the table, what bite levels are, data tracking, how to find a professional. Like, it's all free because this information is so inaccessible online. Everybody is throwing out a sales pitch. I've got this 8-week class. I've got this 24-week class. I've got this board and train program for six. The amount of board and train programs that have popped up, I want to say in like the last year, with people saying, I can only handle this extreme behavior. Like, you can't even touch the dog or take the leash from the dog, from the owner, while they're standing right there. And your solution is to have the owner bring you a dog for 4 weeks and you're magically somehow going to fix this issue. No, you're not. And those are huge red flags. But you don't know how to weed through that information. And I've had days where I've had situations personally where they have seemed so mentally taxing to have to do it that it has caused an immense amount of stress in my day. And when you have a client that's dealing with that, or you yourself are dealing with that, your whole day is gone and it's wasted. And then you finally do that task, and if you can't complete it and has to go on to the next day, it's like a whole repeat but worse. So being cognizant of this can really help make sure that you're reaching your community and you're helping owners go through this in a much more empathetic and effective way, where they feel heard and validated, and they understand that they're being heard and validated. So it's not just them hearing you say, oh, your feelings are valid. It's more during the context of the discussion that you're having with them, they know that their feelings and the situation they're going through is not as abnormal as they would think, and that they are definitely not alone, and that you're there to help them.
All the way to the end. Yay! So if you need to get a hold of us, you can visit www.allbigcanines, and remember that canines is spelled out canines.com. You can email info@allbigcanines. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook @allbigcanines. And you can also feel free to call or text us at 760-278-4248. And don't forget, if you really like our content and you want to help support it, you can go ahead and get access to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/allbigcanines. Have a great day.